Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Happy first day of unleavened bread, huh? We've been spending a lot of time together, really getting to build the bonds of love and unity. Again, this is a great opportunity to draw closer to God and to draw closer to each other, to learn about our Father, right? That hymn, that last hymn was so beautiful. Today is a day that we are commanded to observe and to come together in a sacred assembly. And like all God's holy days, this day has dual meanings. On the one hand, unleavened bread is a sign of deliverance for the Israelites. It symbolized their rapid departure from Egypt. It served as a physical reminder of God's intervention, freeing them from Pharaoh's bondage toward freedom and the promised land. On the other hand, for the Church of God, unleavened bread has a deeper, more spiritual meaning. It's no longer just a reminder of Israelites' physical deliverance from Egypt, but a symbol of Christ himself, pure, sinless, without leavening. He is the bread of life from all of mankind, which is what we symbolically eat when we take in that unleavened bread. Brethren, observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread allows us to reflect on our commitment to live a life free from sin and corruption. The absence of leaven for the next 7 days represents much more than a dietary change or an inconvenience, although I know pizza is very important. It calls us to embark on a lifetime journey of purification, obedience, and a removal of sin. It's a call to action, a call of our preparedness, an invitation to the wedding of the Lamb. If you are here today, it's because you have been called. You are being set apart. You have been invited to this sacred assembly. And so, brethren, let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 for our opening scripture. And this is the key to in the focus of our message. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Here the Apostle Peter reminds us of this calling. He makes clear our true identity and the vision and purpose for our lives. He reminds us that we are a chosen generation, which is the title of today's message, a chosen generation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Brethren, these are not just words. It reflects our calling and our commission and our invitation to change. These words should give comfort to those who choose to respond. So today, as we observe the first day of unleavened bread, I would like us to consider this scripture in the context of this special day that we meet here. Let us reflect on our call to remove the leaven, to sanctify ourselves, and to become this chosen generation, unleavened from sin. And to put it in context, Peter wrote these words back at around 62 AD to the believers in Asia Minor, mostly Gentiles, who had come to the faith in Christ. They were suffering persecution, rejection, and slander from their pagan neighbors. Under Emperor Nero, Rome was turning much more hostile towards Christians. Our world today parallels this moment in time. Even though 2,000 years have passed, the world we live in today feels a lot like the one the early Christians lived in. They faced the same challenges during that time. The spiritual atmosphere was difficult. The cultural pressures were challenging. And there was moral confusion all around. They dealt with the same issues. There is nothing new under the sun, brethren. Nothing new. But Peter wrote these words of encouragement to remind them and us today that though the world may cast us out, God has called us into his marvelous light. So let's consider the first point Peter makes in this scripture. He tells us that we are a chosen generation. Brethren, God selects his people. He chooses us and asks us to remain faithful to him and to his covenant Like a father speaking to his children, he reminds us that we are a special treasure to him. Peter's words are reinforced in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. Take a note of that. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. In Deuteronomy 7, 6, it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth." Brethren, to be chosen is to be selected by God for a divine purpose. It's not for privilege, but for his service. We are to reflect his light in a world of darkness. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we must remember that God chose Israel and delivered them through his mighty miracles. And today, God is choosing spiritual Israel, us, calling us out of spiritual darkness into his glorious light. We are called to prepare ourselves by living a life of obedience and holiness, which brings to the second point that Peter makes. It is a calling to become a royal priesthood, a role that is critical to the coming kingdom of God. Under the old covenant, kings and priests held separate offices. But when Christ returns and his kingdom is established, he will rule with his first fruits, a royal priesthood, a people that have prepared themselves through a lifetime of trials and tribulations. Make note of Revelation 1, verse 6. Revelation 1, verse 6. Here we are reminded by Christ, who says, "Who loved us?" He loved us. Who loved us? Christ loved us. "Who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father." During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we are reminded of this critical role and the need for us to prepare through self-examination by the removing of the leaven of sin, by offering up spiritual sacrifices, not just this week, but our entire lives. We are to train up and prepare ourselves. While living in a world that is trapped in bondage, we must prepare for a kingdom that is soon to come. If we are called, then our lives are no longer of this world, but rather we are consecrated to God and his service, both now and in the world to come. So then the third point Peter makes is that we are a holy nation. Holy means set apart, separated, lifted up. Just as Israel was to be a distinct people among the nations, we too are called to be distinct people among this world. Not only by what we believe, but how we live, the example we reflect to those around us. As ambassadors of Christ, we are governed by God's laws. We observe his Sabbaths and his holy days. For our citizenship is in heaven, and our loyalty is to God's holy standard. It is only through Christ, the bread of life, that we can be transformed and become this holy nation. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul makes it very clear. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." During the days of unleavened bread, we are commanded to eat only what is unleavened, free from corruption, symbolizing our commitment to live lives that are clean, sincere, and obedient to God's law. It's a process that requires vigilance, questioning our physical and spiritual intake. What are we allowing into our lives, into our eyes, into our ears, to avoid taking in what is not pure? We have to be purposeful. Purposeful separation from sin that surrounds us in this world. Which brings me to the fourth point that Peter makes in this scripture. We are his own special people. The original Greek term implies possession. We are his own special people. Take note, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, where he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God, purchased with the blood of Christ. We are his treasured possession." The Feast of Unleavened Bread follows the Passover for a reason. It reminds us that we are bought with a price and now live as people who are God's own, cleansed by his blood, walking in the newness of life. And so the fifth point that Peter makes is that we are called to proclaim his praises. We have not been chosen to be silent. Our mission is to declare God's virtues through love and mercy and justice and the power to change lives. I don't know about you, brethren, but myself, if I look back at my life and where I was in my youth and where I am today, it is amazing what God has done. And it's still a work. The Exodus reveals God's power over the gods of Egypt. Likewise, our lives should reflect his power over sin in our lives. Brethren, as we live unleavened lives, we proclaim not only with words, but with examples that God's way is true and liberating. He frees us from the bondage of sin. We proclaim his praises by taking part in the church, serving each other, shining our light in this dark world, always being prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks for the reason, for the hope that is within us. Brethren, the final point that Peter makes is a reminder that before our calling, we were in darkness, spiritually blind, deceived by Satan, society, and our own self-righteousness. But God has called us into the light of truth, providing us a way to the true righteousness with the clarity of purpose. Just as Israel was led by the pillar of fire in the wilderness, we are being guided by the light of Christ in this modern day wilderness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Ephesians 5:8, take note. Ephesians 5:8 reminds us that we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. This is a calling that demands that we walk in the light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, which is interesting to note. We are called to take action, to find out what is acceptable. Isn't that what we do during unleavened bread? Do we check every label? Do we ask the restaurant, hey, is there bread in the meatballs? You know, this is a process. It's a process. Putting away the old leaven is a process. Cleaning our homes, cleaning our cars, reading labels, questioning what we take into our bodies. This is the physical process, but we must have the same diligence spiritually. Brethren, at the time Peter's words were countercultural. He challenged the status quo, and he died for it. And this is true even for us today. There will come a time when we'll be tested. But God is clear. He is unchanging. It is we here who have to change. It is important to remember we are not defined by our past, our culture, or our trials. We are defined by our calling. Peter's words are not just a passive statement, but an active mission. In a world that honors a false Sabbath, celebrates sin, and denies truth, we are called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, ready to proclaim his praises, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so during this Feast of Unleavened Bread, let us examine ourselves. Let us put out the leaven of sin and walk as those who have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb, for we are his chosen generation.